I had a dream when I was 16 after being involved in a robbery where I almost lost my life, that God gave me another chance at 16 years old to realize that you don't take life for granted. And I decided after that time that I was going to live every day like if it was my last day, and it changed my life, that philosophy of living. And then 2 weeks later, I have a dream that I'm going to be a doctor.
You're listening to the Nick Vujicic Podcast, the place where you will be coached in how to turn your obstacles into opportunities, inspired to dream big, and challenged to never give up. Now here's our host, New York Times bestselling author, speaker, and entrepreneur, Nick Vujicic.
Well, hello, everyone watching the Nick Vujicic Podcast or listening to it. Hello. I hope you're having a great week. I am so blessed, excited, and honored to have Dr. Fabrizio Mancini, my friend. We call him Dr. Fab. How are you, Fab?
Oh, Nick, I'm so excited. I've been looking forward to having this conversation with you because I know anytime we get together, always some great topics come about, but also we always get inspired with some great solutions, you know, solutions for each other, but also solutions that can benefit other people.
Fab, for having me. We just did a local Dallas presentation. I was a keynote for one of your day events here in Dallas, Texas, and we had a wonderful time there in your network. And we were trying to figure out when did we actually meet and how we met. We call it around 9 years ago, and man, it was, let's just say, it clicked. And it's so wonderful now that we're having this opportunity, because I know that you had me on your show for an interview, and I want to say thank you for joining me on my podcast that I can interview you and share your story and what you've learned in your life. I want to quickly do an introduction of you. I'm just going to read a sentence because I looked at your pitch deck and I'm like, I didn't even know how to summarize all of this. You've been on all the news channels, number one best-selling author, for healthy living, media expert, world-renowned chiropractor, international best-selling author and speaker, business consultant, and president emeritus of Parker University. You've been able to reach 750 million people, and you've been, over the last 27 years, a premier holistic doctor, 20 years as a leading media expert, and 13 years as president of Parker University. You got some awards: Heroes for Humanity, Humanitarian of the Year, CEO of the Year, and induction, get this everyone, into the Wellness Revolutionaries Hall of Fame. Dr. Fab, thank you for joining me.
You know, Nick, it's so funny because when you introduce me like that, all I can say is, you know, most people will never know that I came from Colombia, South America to this country. I was set back 2 years because there wasn't an Spanish as a second language program in the United States, in Miami at the time. So they just put me back 2 years. I was 13 years old until I couldn't, I couldn't do anything about it. And then, you know, I've had some very difficult times in my life, like most people, with losing my brother, my father, addiction and alcoholism in my family, from having money to not having money. I mean, you name it. But whenever you were reading that, all I kept saying to myself, I'm just an ordinary man that is willing to do extraordinary things. And I really believe that that's really been a choice. It's been a choice to get out of my uncomfortable state. So, and to the point that I can be comfortable being uncomfortable. And once I do that, I think that then God takes care of the rest, you know, but we have to be willing to do it. We have to be willing to get uncomfortable. We have to be willing to serve at capacities that we never thought were possible. And that's how I see myself. Just somebody that is really, as you met me personally and you met my family, just very simple, a very simple man that keeps life simple, but really is interested in humanity, especially the health of humanity. That's been my passion for years.
You know what I love about you, Fab? You exude love. You exude compassion. Your number one passion is people. And in all of your years of experience, obviously 2020 being a year that no one ever saw coming, can't ever be compared to anything. You know, my passion in also reaching people through my life story and, you know, looking at the generations on an anti-bullying platform to help children in their mental health state, no matter what religion, no matter what diversity we all have, that we all have value. And every single one of us has a purpose in life. I want to get into your story, but I just want to and let you just take over. But for those listening or watching, I just want you to know, please stay tuned, because we're going to unpack a little bit from an incredible, unique perspective. Someone who's actually consulted the top 50 most influential people on a mental health level. Some of the clients that you've told me that you've worked with, Dr. Fab, everyone knows them. And I definitely want to deep dive into later just your pulse on 2020, the mental health of America or the world in such times of instability and uncertainty. But before we get into that, I would love for you to share your story. I mean, you've already started there, and I think that's the number one place to start. How did you come into this passion of wanting to inspire people with healthy living and become an expert in your industry?
You know, it's interesting. And I have to give the credit to my parents. I was raised with two very loving parents that saw five boys. There are five boys in my family. I'm number four. And we were in Colombia. And because my dad was dealing with alcoholism, my mother decided to move to the United States to try to see if my dad would change his environment, maybe he will stop drinking, which he did, and it worked. But I remember my mom and dad sat us down when we moved to the United States, and that's why I love this country. And they said to us three lessons, and for those of you that are listening, you can write this down, but these three lessons have been foundational for me in everything I become in my life. The first one is that there's opportunity always around us. There's opportunity always around us, but you have to be able to recognize it. You have to look for it, and you have to accept it when it shows up, you know? And that's one of the things that right now during this difficult time, people are seeing the losses, the changes that are difficult, but they're missing out that this could be probably the biggest blessing in disguise that they ever would have had. And you and I have shared how this has been a blessing in our lives, even though it hasn't been an easy blessing, but it's been a blessing. The second thing that they share with us is that when you find that opportunity, you have to be able to know that that opportunity was for you. You know, God doesn't give us things that we can't handle. I know that for a fact. Even in my worst moments that I thought I could not do it, I know that I had to trust, I had to have faith that inside of me, I had everything that I could get through it. So when you find that opportunity, you have to tell yourself with certainty, I can do this because of this, Nick. I found out in my life that at least 9 out of 10 people are gonna talk me out of my opportunities, out of my dreams. And you have to be prepared for that.
I want you to repeat that. I found
that in my life, at least 9 out of 10 people are going to talk you out of your opportunity, your dreams, your goals, because of this. The problem is that they come in the form of loved ones. It could be parents. It could be grandparents. It could be teachers. It could be spouses. It could be brothers and sisters. And I learned that it's not that they didn't want something good for me. It's that they didn't think of it. They'd never done it. They didn't think it was possible. They didn't want my feelings to be hurt. They didn't want me to fail, right? But that was not for them to really decide. Because really what you need when an opportunity shows up for you is you need people around you that believe in you and that can support you during that process. So look for the opportunity. When you find it, know that you're the person that is destined for that particular opportunity that didn't go to somebody else. It went to you. Take it seriously because it's a gift, right? And then thirdly, you have to take action. You know, no matter what, I realized in my life, it's only through action that you can transform from where you are to where you want to be. You can study all you want with your thinking because your mindset is the foundation. It begins in your thinking, but the action is what allows you to transcend. So what people call mistakes, I only find them as lessons, you know? And when you try to move in a direction that may not go work the way that you want to work, then, you know, you find a different way. Or maybe you discover something new that you didn't know. Or maybe you change where you want to go and decide to change the destination. But just know that that action is critical in that process. And those are the three things. So we moved to the United States. It was an amazing experience. I had a dream when I was 16 after being involved in a robbery where I almost lost my life, that God gave me another chance at 16 years old to realize that you don't take life for granted. And I decided after that time that I was going to live every day like if it was my last day, and it changed my life, that philosophy of living. And then 2 weeks later, I have a dream that I'm going to be a doctor. I saw myself serving millions of people. I saw myself as a healer. And I was like, I never had that dream before because I don't have any family members that come from the healthcare environment. So I went to my counselor in the school and I said, I want to be a doctor. He said, well, you're a good student. You're a great athlete, but you need to do better in your studies. So I need you to make all A's in your classes, because if you want to go to a good pre-med school, it's very difficult to get in. So I began to be more disciplined in my studies. I started making all A's. I ended up being one of the top kids in my class with 100.7 average by the time I graduated from high school. And I made up 1 year of college because I took advanced courses of the 2 years that I was set back. So all of that is to say that I got accepted at an amazing pre-med school, had great mentors supporting me. And then I decided on chiropractic instead of surgery, because I wanted to be in the preventative world. I wanted to help people realize that over 80% of our health conditions come from lifestyle choices. And if you can learn to live your life a little bit better, more responsible, you can pretty much live a healthy life for a long period of time. Science tells us that the average individual is supposed to live up to 150 years old. And most people die around 70 or 80 years old. So why is that? Lifestyle. And that began my journey into being a healthcare provider, and then recognizing that that was my mission. That was what was given to me as a purpose. That's when I realized that from that moment on, it was like I had infinite energy because I was living my purpose. And when you live your purpose, nothing can stop you from achieving what it is that you were destined to be.
I love it. I love it. I love it. If you're listening, I want to give drfabmancini.com website. Make sure that if you're at a computer right now, open it up. Incredible points of the three-step process to help you not just to survive during this difficult season and pandemic, but really to thrive. And that three-step process is so amazing and universal for everyone. Fab, I'm sure there are some people thinking, wait, I can't even think about my greater purpose. I can't even think about thriving. I'm hearing you through my ear, but right now there are some filters in my brain because of the fear, the anxiety, the uncertainty, the depression, the addiction. I've got these filters in my mind where all I'm trying to do is survive. Talk to those of us right now who just need some basic steps and reminders, really, of the basics into saying, okay, Dr. Fab Mancini, help me to just survive this season of my life.
Well, that's a great question, because the one thing I want you to know, if you're listening right now, if you're watching this, is that the pandemic, COVID-19, no one has been exempt. This has impacted every race, every age, every nation. And I want you to know, we never had a disruptor like this before. But I also believe that we needed a universal pause. I believe that humanity was going so fast-paced that we were not taking care of our environment. We were not taking care of ourselves. We were not taking care of our relationships. we were taking our businesses for granted. We were taking the economy for granted. And I believe that we just got a universal pause. And I think God said, you know, it's time to pause and let's reflect upon where we've been and where we're going to go in the future. So let me tell you what I discovered, because I was impacted by this. As you know, out of my four companies, two of them completely had no income coming in. I had to revamp myself. I had to re-engineer many things. And this is what I discovered by interviewing over 50 people that are some of the most influential people in the world. And what I've learned is that it begins with one step, and that is an assessment, an honest assessment of where you are right now. You see, most of us, Nick, our mindset is one that it puts us in a position that we tend to be more positive than negative. And we tend to think that this is just going to go away. Oh, it's like the flu, so it won't last very long. And I'll get back into public speaking real soon because that's just the way that nature is. Or I'll get back to my regular life, or I'll get back to, you know, my children going back to school. But in reality, we notice that it hasn't happened, and it's been almost 5 months. And we know that right now, the future doesn't look like there's any easy solution ahead of us. So what I've learned is that the people that are thriving that now, right now, are truly assessing where they are with honesty. You know, where am I with my finances? How am I managing my time during this downtime? Because that's very important. But also assessing, am I having the impact that I want to have during this time? You know, just because, as you know, we do a lot of public speaking, but now that we're stuck at home, we've been doing a lot of virtual speaking, right? Which is not common for us. We never explored that world, at least I didn't. Mine was all physical. For 30 years, I've been doing that. So I realized that I needed to understand that during this process, how I spend my time right now is critical, and am I having the impact that I want to have? So I began with the assessing of those questions, and I began to ask myself questions like, what is the value of money? You know, and I realized that money is an exchange of value. That if you're not providing or contributing value to others, you shouldn't be expecting to be earning any money right now. But the biggest mistake that people have during this process is that they want to give the value the way they've given it before. So therefore, they feel trapped. They feel like a victim. I can't go to my business. I can't go to my office. You know, I've been laid off. Whatever the circumstances may be. So I discovered that once you assess yourself and you truly understand where you are, then you do the second step that I did. And this was brilliant. Is that I had to learn to listen to the needs of those that I was serving, because this has been a big disruptor. So my clients, the people that I serve, they have different needs than they had before 5 months ago. So I had to be a good listener. I had to be a good observant. I had to ask good questions. What is the biggest challenge that you're undergoing during this pandemic? What is the biggest stress factor that you're currently experiencing? How has this impacted your health in a negative way, being locked up at home, you know, not being able to work out regularly or maybe eat properly the way that you want to eat? So all of those things, I think, led me to understand that once I understood the need of the people that I serve, then I can go into my value system and say, how can I support those needs so they can move forward, so they can transcend them, so they can overcome it. And that's where the opportunity is. When you pair the needs of others to your values and your gifts, your products, your services, then that's going to help you. And then lastly, I had to put a plan of action of how I was going to execute my service to others. I had to really be clear with my intentions of this is how I want to serve others. And I had to measure those activities. Because if you just get busy and you don't really measure whether they're being effective or not, what happens? You keep spinning your wheels like that hamster that keeps going in the wheel. But at times like this, if you want to be effective, you have to measure how you're spending your time, how you're spending your money, and how you're spending your impact or how you're impacting people. And when you measure that on a monthly basis, then all of a sudden now, you're able to truly be effective in whatever position you're in right now. So I created that assessment that In fact, we can offer it to your listeners at no charge. I usually charge $500 to do that assessment to CEOs that I work with, but they can have it for free because to me, this is a time of giving. But if they go to fablifeacademy.com, fablifeacademy.com, they can actually download it for free, do the assessment, and then they can see where are the areas of opportunity that they need to pay attention to so they can actually put a plan of action. And I'll be more than happy to help in any way that I can.
That's amazing. I know that you've mentored and helped many, many CEOs. What an incredible opportunity. Thank you for giving everyone that resource. From a CEO point of view, actually, as well, when you as the leader see the effect of this decentralization of, and I wish, I love how you said it the other Saturday when we were together, you were saying you wish that it wasn't called social distancing, that it would be called physical distancing. And I've used that many times since I've seen you because I'm like, that's spot on, because that social aspect is something we need. We need each other, not just to exist or coexist, but to interact, to engage. As a CEO, even myself with, you know, a team of just over a dozen, even when you have a good dynamic and wonderful team, how does a CEO, whether it's a big or small team, make sure that they themselves as employees take that self-awareness and have those conversations of trying to find their value and trying to find their purpose and trying to find their mission? How can CEOs, and how are you training CEOs right now to motivate their staff and make sure that they're on point and aligned in that manner and sense as well? Because you know that the CEO can be great with the mental, you know, I know where I am, but what about the team? And sometimes it's the other way around as well. And right now in this pandemic, everything's upside down almost for everyone. So how can we do that as teams?
Well, that's a great question. So, you know, in my last position, I had 400 employees. So I can tell you what a difference that makes as a CEO to have a lot of employees. And the way that I have found and the way that I teach my CEO clients and mentees is the fact that, first of all, you need to be vulnerable. You need to take that ego mask that you got it all together. You're the big cheese. You are the highest position in this company. And you have to be a human being. You have to let people know that this is impacting you too. And that you don't have all the answers, because no one can claim to have all the answers at this time. This is unprecedented. No matter how many times you hear experts tell you, they're just opinions. They're opinions, and you have to make sure that you don't take anyone's opinions as truth, because nobody really knows. So I began by teaching them to be vulnerable, to have a conversation with their employees as to how they're doing themselves as a human being. And then to be very honest about how the company is doing right now. And the reason that that is important is because, as you know, the unemployment has been almost 20 million since COVID-19 started. And that's just in America. That's not around the world. So you start thinking about individuals that have dedicated their lives to support your business, your livelihood. And now they're thinking, am I going to be okay? Is this business going to be able to support me? So I always believe that we need to be honest with our employees and allow them to be part of the solution. You see, a lot of CEOs think that they have to be the one coming up with all the strategies and all the solutions. But what I've learned is that people are more than happy to get very creative right now to be able to maintain their role in the company. So you can go to your employees and begin to maybe say, you know, Nick, I know you've been working with me for the last 10 years. There's no way that this company will be where we are if it hadn't been because of your contributions. Always begin the dialogue with acknowledging the service they've given you, because you never want to take for granted from any employee, you know. Second, now I'm going to say, you know, Nick, I know that you probably worry about your position right now. You know, I know that all of us are worried because we don't know exactly where this is all going. So I need your help. I need you to get creative more than ever right now. There's nothing in the world I want more than to keep you as an employee, but I can't come up with all the solutions myself. You have gifts, experiences. You are the one that is actually in the trenches. I need you to come up with ways that you feel that we can build this company or at least grow this company by creating either new products or services or where people really need it, especially in the areas that we've been impacted negatively. So I need your help. Would you do that for me? Would you be willing to get on this team? Because we are in this together. You know, what happens to this company impacts all of us. And not only that, it's not even about the company, it's about our customers. It's about the people we serve. They depend on us, you know? If we are a company that provides a particular product or service, and now we're not able to produce it or deliver it or whatever the case may be, that's gonna have an impact on somebody's lives, right? Would you agree? So would you help me? And then maybe give incentives, you know, maybe go around and create healthy competition among different departments. You know, whoever comes up with the best idea gets a $100 gift card or a $10 Starbucks gift card. It doesn't have to be big, but just to make it about the productivity and the creativity rather than the survival mindset. Another day that we didn't get orders. Another day that the company keeps going down. Another day, because otherwise that takes over the whole time and the whole conversation inside the office instead of the opposite. And I think that that would be very effective for the people out there that are managing people.
Absolutely. Hey, I want to switch gears for a bit because I know that there's a lot of people who have children still in school.
Yeah.
Talk about mental health. What do you anticipate would be obviously some obvious challenges, but maybe some other things that we who haven't seen what you've seen and you knowing what you know. What do you anticipate for this next generation, Gen Z, with some schools opening, some schools not opening, and in particular, the mental health of these kids now, where it's a very complicated year?
You know, it's interesting because, as you know, my brother Pierluigi, where you met, he is one of the leading mental health experts in the country, and we have conversations like this. And in my last book, The Power of Self-Healing, I wrote about how our mental health is one of the leading causes of our physical health. So we want to make sure that our emotional component, how we deal with stress in life, which is an easy word to use for when people are referring to mental health. I don't want you to think that we're referring to maybe schizophrenia or some very, very difficult mental health conditions. We're talking about your typical worries, anxieties, depression, all of the things that impact our ability to emotionally be stable. So one of the things that I can tell you, Nick, I've been listening to people because I'm still doing healthy living for the doctors and the Dr. Phil show and Fox News. And I get to hear a lot of the conversations out there. And one of the things that I truly believe is that if you choose to look at this time from an opportune time to be able to develop your faith, right? Because when uncertainty comes out there, nobody knows what's gonna happen in the next month, 2 months from now, 6 months from now, right? They're all assumptions, right? And they could be maybe educated guess, which is fine, but in reality, no one really knows. So this is a time that you need to be faithful. You need to truly believe that everything is gonna be okay, that we have made it through a lot of difficult times in the past. Granted, this is unprecedented, but we as a humanity have gone through very difficult times and we've survived, we've evolved. And I truly believe that this opportunity will help humanity evolve to a higher state of consciousness, therefore a higher state of activity. So I truly believe that. So you have to work on your belief system. If you all of a sudden have a belief system that everything is dark and gloomy and that the end is coming and that all of the negative things in the world that everybody's talking about there are going to become true, then of course you're going to get depressed. And depression changes the chemistry of your body, which means you're going to be physically unhealthy and you may develop a heart condition. You may develop cancer. because we've seen that studies have shown that when people are emotionally distressed, it has an impact on your physical health. So I want you to do a couple of things. Number one is, then you asked me about the generation. The generation that is younger than us is impacted by the way we respond because they're watching. So we have young children at home. Children model parents' behaviors more than they listen to what they say. If you understand that concept in raising your children, you will understand that it's very important that you watch your behavior, that you watch how you're responding to things. This is not a time to panic. This is not a time to freak out. This is a time to sit down with your children. And if you need to be honest about where finances are, be honest. That's going to help them, because they need to be realistic about this instead of, don't worry, honey, mom and dad are taking care of it. Because what benefit are you giving them? Maybe mom and dad are not going to be able to take care of it. And now they're going to be disappointed because they feel you lied to them, instead of making them part of the solution. You know, my son had a preceptorship that he would have for the summer, and that got canceled because of COVID. So he was like, Dad, I don't know where to go. I can't seem to find anywhere. And I kept saying to him, well, honey, right now it's important for you to work during the downtime. I know you're taking a class too. So he went ahead and found a position within 2 days, because I was honest with him. And I said, yeah, I can cover his expenses, but why not make him be part of the solution? And yesterday we had dinner together, and he's like, Dad, it feels so good to be contributing during this time. I see you working so hard. I know these are difficult times. I'm loving so much where I'm working. I'm learning so much about what I'm going to be in the future. So make sure that you're responding in a positive way, but also take time to have the conversations with them, but not by telling them, but by asking questions. You know, Jenny, how are you feeling? You know, I haven't asked you yet, but how is all of this impacting you? How is it impacting your friends? What are the conversations among you guys? You know, I know you don't know whether you're going to be able to go to virtual class or go back to college or go back to school. What are you thinking? And he's like, oh, mom, you know, everybody's freaking out. We want to go back to school, but now they're telling us we're going to be online. We don't know what to do. We're tired of being home. I'm not that good online. I'd rather go to school. You know, imagine all the kids in college that they were looking forward to this experience all their lives, and now they're back home, you know, with their mom and dad on a computer trying to do all their homework. So I think it's important to ask questions rather than tell them things during this time. So get to see really what they're going through. And then depending on what they tell you, it's important not to react in a negative way whatsoever. Because anytime you react, when a child tells you something that they don't think you're going to approve of, they will shut down and they will stop sharing with you those things anymore. So one of the tricks that I did growing up with my kids is, no matter what they told me, I took a deep breath, Nick, and I just said, do not react. Just take it all in, you know, and I let them keep talking. And then if I couldn't hold it, I would excuse myself and say, listen, let me go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. And if I have to go outside and yell and scream or bite my tongue or whatever, I didn't do it in front of them, because I wanted them to feel me calm, relax. And that's really important for us as parents and for our children to be encouraged. This is a time to breathe, you know, just breathe in and out every day. This is a time to pray, you know, because praying will bond you together. This is a time to have deep conversations, not the superficial ones that most of the time we tend to have, but honestly, like, what's going on? You know, are you doing okay? And share also how you're doing, so that way they see that you're human and that you're also dealing with uncertainty, that you're dealing with things that maybe you weren't dealing from before, that you're concerned about your job, or that you're doing these steps. Show them what steps you're taking so they know what to do if they're ever in that position. So I truly believe that this generation of children is blessed because they've been hit with an unprecedented disruptor. And if they learn to handle the disruption properly, they will be able to handle pretty much anything that life throws at them in the future. So I think of that as a blessing. Now, I think for the parents, I think it's important for them to see the same value in that, that this is not a punishment. So I've learned to do one thing, Nick, through this whole process, is to ask myself, not what the pandemic has done to me, but what has it done for me? And that has changed my whole inner dialogue. Anytime I find myself with a negative situation is, what is the pandemic done for me? What is this doing for me? Is it telling me that I need to find maybe a different role, a different position, a different career, right? Because 70% plus of the people hate where they work. So maybe this is just a disruption to say, you know what? It's time to either go back to school and get that degree you wanted or get that job that you've been dreaming about, but do something that makes you happy. Don't be stuck in a job that you hate because that's not going to be happiness. So I really do feel that this disruption is one of the greatest blessings in disguise because it will teach us about us, things that we would never learn about us unless we were put in this situation.
Yeah, and because we were face to face and we've had more conversations than just this time together, you know, if everyone watching and listening, you know, we're not belittling at all the suffering or the pain and the loss, and not just from a US point of view or a Western point of view, but Dr. Fab is very well aware of also the other struggling nations around the world that don't have what a first class country has, if you will, a first world country where we have medical hospital at our fingertips. And first of all, if there is anyone who's watching who feels depressed and needs to talk to someone, please call your local suicide hotline, talk to somebody. And these parenting tips, Dr. Fab, are absolutely gold, absolutely gold. Thank you for giving us those practical tips and helping me just change in a way something that I've never brought up, which is the education system and the parenting of this. And I love that you unpackaged all that. I would love now for you to just share. I know that you have so many inspiring stories, people that you've met that really touch your heart and empower your heart. I just want to let you run free. Any story or stories that you'd like to encourage our listeners with today?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I can share with you stories about some of the moments in my life that have taught me some of the greatest lessons. And one of them that I remember was when I became a doctor, a student to become a doctor, I remember that my mentor or the head of the school was the most influential chiropractor in the world. And I remember that he started mentoring me without me asking. And it wasn't until about 10 years later that I asked him, I had the guts to ask him, why me, not your kids, not your relatives? And he said, because I see myself in you, you know? And what I realized is that I was a hungry young man that just wanted to learn. And little did I know that he was seeing in me things that I wasn't able to see myself at that time. And he was seeing that potential. And he would tell me, one day you're going to be president of this, and one day you're going to run this. And you know what? All of those things became true. But at that time, when I was 21, 22 years old, I would tell him, no way, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do this, you know. And I remember my first book, right? You know, I've written 4 books. My first book was with Mark Victor Hansen and Jack Canfield, and it was a chicken soup book. And they offered me the opportunity to write a book with them. And I'm saying to myself, and this is why I want people to understand, I'm just like you, but I'm willing to be uncomfortable. And I remember Jack says to me, or Mark says to me, okay, you're going to do this book with us. And I said, Mark, I don't even know. English is my second language. If you see me write, I can't even put a proper sentence together. That's just not me. And he said, no, you understand the value. You're going to do it. And what it made me realize in my first book, and it was very successful, we sold over 400,000 copies, never in a bookstore, never online, only through my programs. 400,000 copies in 2 years. And I was like, this is crazy, because as you know, our agents tell us that less than 90 to 95% of the books that are written ever sell more than 1,000 copies, something like that. It's ridiculous, wow, the number. And so to be able to be in that position, and what I realized is that a book is not necessarily about sentencing and structuring. It's about being able to solve the biggest problem you can find, being able to share how you overcame something that somebody else out there is struggling with. That's really the secret of a book, is to come up with the biggest problem, find out what the biggest solution that you discover, share that, document it, reference it properly, and be able to benefit many people from that particular thing. So now that I just wrote my proposal for my fifth book, I'm saying to myself, you know, I could have talked myself out of it and said, no, I'm not doing this. But what would have that done for me? You know, it wouldn't have allowed me to evolve to the person that I was destined to be, right, as a best-selling author. And I remember I've done media before, but not very big media, more local media. And my first show, you know, Dr. Phil had been my patient for many years, and he invited me to do a show when I wrote my book. And he said, I want to tell the world what you've done for me and how people come to me with problems, but I go to you with my problems. And it's so funny because he invited me to the show and I was so scared, Nick. I never forget the night before. I could not sleep. I was shaking. I was like, I'm going to be on live television. I don't know what I'm getting myself into when I said yes. So, you know, that night I called my mother. And I'll never forget, I was by myself in a hotel room in Los Angeles. I called my mother and I said, Mom, I'm really struggling with this. What do you think? And she reminded me, you know, she said, well, God would not put you in that position unless you were ready. And you know, Dr. Phil loves you. He's not going to put you in a position where you're not going to be okay. So just have faith, just trust. And then after that, I slept so good. I got up early. And then Dr. Phil, the next morning, he says to me, I know you've been doing a lot of public speaking. And I said, yeah. And he said, well, how many people did you reach last year through your public speaking? And I started counting, you know, and I said, around 75,000. And he said, well, today you're going to reach 15 million in 1 hour. That's the power of mass media. And I never forgotten that. Now, I didn't want to be on TV, but because I did well on that show, then I got invited to do other shows. And then I became a healthy living expert for the media. And all of a sudden now they want me to do my own show. And what I realized, Nick, is I have to trust that the opportunity. I kept going back to what my parents taught us. When people offer you an opportunity, please receive it. You know, there were many times in my life that I said no to things because I didn't think I was worthy of them or because I didn't think I was ready for them. But in reality, an opportunity like that will not come to you unless you have both, that you were ready and you were worthy. So trust in it, accept it. And even if you're uncomfortable, go through it, and then you will learn from it. And maybe next time it's going to be better, and next time it's going to be better, and next time it's going to be better. So I just learned to trust and to recognize that God has already put everybody in your path to fulfill your mission. But we have to do two things. We have to recognize them when they show up, and we have to accept their help when they offer it. And that's the biggest challenge that I find that most of us keep us from truly reaching our destiny, is that we do not recognize it when it shows up. So we let him go by because we're too busy, or we're too stuck in our inner dialogue of I'm not good enough, or we're surrounding ourselves with people that are not nurturing us and lifting us up and sharing with us the potential that we have, right? Because whoever you surround with is who you become. So I realized that I just needed to trust and keep looking for those people, looking for those opportunities. And then when they came, say yes. And I started saying yes. And I say yes. And I say yes. And no matter how uncomfortable I get, Nick, I say yes. I may be having diarrhea when I say yes, but I'm going to say yes because I know that it wouldn't keep coming my way unless it was going to be part of my path. And that's been many, many stories like that throughout my life, you know. But I want to share one story that I was thinking about because it talks a little bit about self-esteem. And it talks a little bit about many of the work that you've done with the bully campaign and all that. So when I started my practice in 1993, I was very involved on many boards. And one of the boards that I was serving was helping individuals that were dropping out of high school and not finishing their high school diploma. And what I learned is that over 70% were minorities and were Latin. And because of my ability to speak Spanish as my first language and being Hispanic, I volunteered with a psychologist to be able to mentor young people that have dropped out of school and try to talk them into going back to school. And Nick, I had an experience that changed my life forever. After doing this for a couple of years, there was a young lady, we'll call her Maria for privacy issues, but there was a young lady named Maria. She was 15 years old and she had dropped out of school. So when we went to visit her and her family was very receptive. We learned that Maria was pregnant and that's why she dropped out of school and that she was not feeling comfortable going to school while being pregnant. So the psychologist and I were talking to her and she wouldn't talk in front of her parents. So we asked her parents if it would be okay to let her spend some quality time with her by herself. And the parents didn't understand why she didn't want to go back to school. So after the parents left us alone for a few minutes and we were getting to know her a little bit better and building trust in her, she starts crying. I mean, crying so profusely. I hate myself. And I said, what do you mean you hate yourself? And the psychologist was asking. She says, I haven't told my parents how I got pregnant. And that's why I don't want to go back to school. I hate myself. And she goes to tell us what happened. So she was an only child. Parents were working two jobs to make ends meet. So she would spend a lot of their afternoons by herself at home. She was a good student, studying and by herself. Then all of a sudden, this group of young girls started befriending her. And it was a gang. And they didn't tell her it was a gang, but they started befriending her and getting her to trust them. And then they found out that her house was pretty much empty because the parents did not come home until 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And she was all by herself after school until 8 o'clock at night or 8 or 9 o'clock at night. So they started going to her house and they started befriending her even more. And then after they did that for a couple of months, they told her that they belonged to a gang. And she was at that time feeling so accepted and so welcome. She was an introverted girl that she decided to join the gang. So they told her that there was an initiation in order to be accepted in the gang. And the initiation required two things. One, that they would allow the other girl gang members to beat them up for 1 minute, to hit them as much as they can and kick them or whatever, and they could not resist for 1 minute. Now, can you imagine 60 seconds is a lot of time when somebody's beating you up.
Wow.
And then she said, what's the second one? And she says, the second one is that you let a boy gang all have sex with you one after the other. And there was four of the boy gang.
Oh, my gosh.
Nick, she chose the latter because she felt that it was less painful. So the reason she got pregnant, the reason she hated herself, is because she didn't know which one of those four boys was it. They all did their business, came inside of her, and she didn't know. And she never told a soul. She just dropped out of school. After she started getting pregnant, she told her parents that she was pregnant and that's the reason. The parents wanted to save the baby. She thought about aborting it. But then we convinced them to donate, you know, give the baby up for adoption, which was a beautiful thing. We found a beautiful home for the baby. And dealing with that healing made me realize the lengths that we go through when our self-esteem is low, when we don't like ourselves enough. We allow somebody else's beliefs, somebody else's influence, make us do unthinkable things just so we belong, just so that we are connected, just so we're validated. So the lesson that I've always taught young children is that you cannot depend that on your self-worth, on the opinion of others, because you will always be disappointed. People are human. They will let you down. You can't like yourself when somebody says, you're wonderful, you look pretty, you did such a great job here. You have to tell yourself that. All through your life, you have to be the one building that self-esteem. So that way, when opportunities like that come, you can have the certainty to say, no thanks. I'd rather be by myself than to put myself through that level of pain and suffering. And I'm telling you, that just made me realize that we live in a society where a lot of your youth really has a challenging self-esteem issue. And because of that, they bully others, right? Because a bully is not a bully unless they have insecurities among themselves. Why would you ever want to harm somebody else or belittle somebody else if you're certain and secure with yourself? But the only, what I found in bullying and gangs too, the only reason that people do that is because it supports their validation that by harming others, they're now a big shot and they get attention, you know, regardless. And one of my sons was bullied for a year and we went through that with him and it was devastating to the point that he wanted to kill himself. And this is a kid that was going to a private school, the most expensive school in Texas, and it was happening right there and it had happened to seven other kids by one kid that was allowed to do that. And then once my son was the one that actually broke the silence and he decided to move to another school, and they realized that the kid felt that he could get away with it because the father was on the board of that school, and they let go of the father from the board and they dispelled the kid and they changed the dean of the school because he allowed it to happen. And the dean said, I'm too afraid to say anything because he controls my position. And then the board said, that's not acceptable. So they released the board member, they released the dean, and then the new dean called my son in and said, I don't want to lose you. You have a place here always. And my son said, thank you so much, but I'm ready to change my environment. And we moved him to another school. And it was the best decision ever because he flourished in that new school and he was allowed to be himself. So it can happen to anyone out there.
Wow, I love where we've gone here. You know, it's so good. I never knew that we would unpack it so much within the family and the young people and the parenting. We had so much there and self-esteem. To all parents and all young people, please listen to this all over again. And if you need some encouragement and self-esteem, build up. Dr. Fab, I'm sure you have resources at your website. Please tell everyone where they can come and see you and be inspired and being encouraged.
I have a lot of free resources at fablifeacademy.com, fablifeacademy.com. And maybe, Nick, you can put that link whenever we post this, fablifeacademy.com. And you're going to get a lot of great videos, audios, inspirations, and I'm giving it to you because right now is a time to give, it's a time to share. And if you really feel like you need something right now to be able to help you be more positive, be more creative in how to deal with this, because right now we're not seeing an end of this very quickly. So we don't know how long this is gonna last. So this is the time for you to build yourself. This is the time for you to be able to respond in a positive way. I often said, Nick, that circumstances should never define the person. How we respond to those should define those. And in order to respond, you have to make choices, be decisive. You can't just wait and see what happens, because the longer you wait, the more pain and suffering and struggle and frustration that you'll endure. This is a time to act right now. So look for the ways, like when you do the assessment, when you go to the site, you get to do the assessment. And the nice thing is you have the template. You can do the assessment anytime you want to. Do it for yourself because it will identify the areas that you're weak. But the nice thing about it is that if you have the opportunity to be able to right now work on you while you're down, you know, work on your health, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, work on your relationships, right? If you're married, not married, have a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. If you have children, let me tell you, this is the biggest blessing in the world is both of my children are grown up and they live separately, but they both came home and we were together, right? We sold our house. We moved into a two-bedroom apartment, high-riser, because it's just us adults. And my kids were here because they wanted to have the pandemic shutdown here in a high-riser. And they were both sleeping in a king-size bed, like if they were children, even though they're in their early 20s. And they bonded more than ever. And we bonded more than ever because we couldn't go anywhere. We were 24/7 for 3.5 months together. And that was the biggest blessing that this pandemic has caused in our lives, is the fact that we are closer today than ever, ever because of that. And that was a blessing. So yes, I think it's important for you to, so just go to fablifeacademy.com. You'll be able to do the assessment. You have access to the resources there, and you should have plenty to be inspired in how to respond to this in a positive way.
Thank you, Dr. Fab. You are absolutely fab. You are awesome, and I'll never forget all the conversations we've had and the encouragement you've been in just the last couple months. A couple conversations where you've come alongside and just encouraged me. And one of the things that you really helped me to understand was, you know, when you talk it out to somebody, it's not so much about the advice you're receiving as much as you listening to yourself. And I feel that, you know, in that way you've encouraged me. And I just want to encourage everyone out there, whether you feel like you're ready to just focus on survive, but then go to a lifestyle of thriving. And one of the things that I wanted to just leave behind our listeners here at the end is, you don't know what beauty can come from you just giving someone a call who's also in a survival mode, who's also got self-esteem issues, who's also maybe even depressed. And no matter what fear of inadequacy you feel like you have, that you don't think you have anything to offer, just listening to somebody, your friend or your family, your relative, there's so much power in that, and to know that we all have that greater purpose. And I just want to say thank you, Dr. Fab, for the purpose-filled life you are living to make the world a better place, one individual at a time. And thank you for making my world more positive and encouraging. And I just want you to know I love you, and thank you everyone for watching the Nick Vujicic podcast or listening. Join me next week, and where you'll be continued to be inspired to not just survive, but to thrive. Dr. Fab, any last words for our audience?
Well, I just want to say, Nick, I love you. And thank you for not only your inspiration to me and millions of people, but also your genuineness. You're one of the most authentic people that I've ever met. And that's one of the reasons I truly love and support your mission. And for those of you that are listening, I just want you to understand that you're not alone in this. You are being supported. You are being loved. Receive it. You know, come to the podcast. Get inspired every single week with Nick, because he's one of the best in the world at that. But more importantly, because he loves you. He loves you. He truly loves you. And I've seen that. I've seen that with my own eyes for years after years consistently. So I just want to say thank you for the opportunity, Nick, to have this conversation with you. And thank you, if you're listening right now, for at least listening. And I hope that you will take some action steps. Take some action steps, whatever resonated with you, just take some action steps and make a decision. Make a decision that you will be better off after this pandemic than before the pandemic. And you can decide that. And as you make that decision, all the action steps and all of the things will come to you. But you have to make the decision that the pandemic is doing great for you, not against you. This is not a punishment. This is actually a blessing in disguise.
Love you, Dr. Fabrizio Massini. I love you so much, brother. God bless you.
God bless you, Nick. Thank you.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. Help us reach as many people as possible by giving us a rating, a review, and subscribing to this podcast. Love you so much. And remember, share this with anyone you know who needs to hear this as well. I'll see you next week.